I talk to people all the time. Someone even told me once they thought I'd be a good talk show host.
Really?
Yeah, a couple of people. How do you get that, though? Where do you start? You can't just walk into a building and say, I want to be a talk show host.
I wouldn't think so.
It's all politics.
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome! Welcome to our top stories this hour. You know, Aaron was talking about the objects off the overpass. Hey, Aaron, I don't know if you're still there.
Yeah,
Aaron,
yeah, what's up, Dory?
Okay. So, are they starting to come up with any plan to deal with this before somebody's killed? And I know they say, we don't have the manpower, we don't have the cameras, but what are they going to do about this?
Yeah, I think that's the most frustrating part of this whole story is State Patrol and SDOT are just kind of, in the city, are just kind of pointing fingers at each other saying, no, it's not our jurisdiction, so you got to take care of it. And then the rock gets thrown from some Seattle property onto the freeway, which then becomes, you know, State Patrol's issue. But all they're saying right now is that they're just, you know, working together to try to solve this. And I know you talked to Gary Horker a couple weeks ago about this. Somebody who was actually caught, who they arrested throwing an object, was then released the following day. So that makes no sense to me either. But it's
no, and that's where I say, you know, we have to either get people into treatment, provide every social safety net that we can, and get them housing and, you know, treatment for alcohol and drugs and all of that. Or we have to just, you know, say you're not allowed to camp out. And you know, this is just my opinion, it's not yours. But it's either treatment or jail time. But this is insane. You know, two people died in a homeless encampment fire yesterday morning in a pallet structure, they said. And you know, it's not humane for the poor souls whose lives are so lost, either because of mental illness or drugs. And it's, man, and somebody's going to get killed. And, you know, people have been killed by homeless committing other crimes, too. But I just, you know, I talked about this right at the beginning of the show today. I don't understand how anybody thinks the status quo is compassionate.
Yeah.
It's because it's not.
Yeah.
It's just wrong, man. Okay. I appreciate it, Aaron. Yep. Thank you. All right. Yeah. Either treatment or jail time. Those are the two choices. And if we were a truly compassionate society, that's what we would do. And they say, well, we don't have enough jail space to lock up all those people. Well, you spend $100,000 per homeless person per year. And you're telling me that that's more cost effective? We've spent over $10 billion in the last decade in the Puget Sound area, Seattle, King County, over $10 billion. Can you imagine? And I will tell you, when it was 2004 or 2006, the King County 10-year plan to end homelessness. And there were a lot of good-hearted, well-intentioned people, including some of the, you know, the smartest, best business owners in the region. But if your plan is appeasement, if your plan is, well, we'll offer you help, but if you don't take it, which sadly, you know, 80, 90% won't accept help because they are so far gone mentally and with their addiction that they would rather live this life of slow death in the mud than have a chance of turning their life around. And that's not compassionate by us as a society. And I, you know, some guy has a rock dropped through his car at 11:15 last night, and it's because of what we as a society, not we, because I don't, do you tolerate this? I'm guessing that most of us understand that the path we're on is wrong. And, you know, when I talked to Dan Satterberg about legalizing drugs in King County, he goes, well, it was clear the path we were on wasn't working. And people always say that, and then everybody nods their head, the war on drugs wasn't working. Nod their head because it's the right thing to do, meaning it's the leftist thing to do. And what they're doing now is far worse. It's dramatically worse. And I don't want to put people in jail because of their addiction. I want to get them help. I'd like to use jail as the carrot at the end of the string and say, look, jail's going to be hell for you, but we can get you help. We'll get you a warm bed, and we'll get you meals, and we'll get you addiction counseling and treatment. We could do all of those things for the money we're spending. But, and this is something of which I am confident, and it makes the people in the homeless industrial complex furious at me every time I say it. I don't think there's a big incentive in the homelessness complex to help these lives. I mean, there are so many people making six figures in the homelessness industry. Why would they want to end homelessness? They've got a big, fat, cushy government gig. If they actually achieve what they claim their goals are, they're going to be out of a job. And they're not going to be able to make six figures in the private sector because, frankly, not that many of them are that smart and that capable and great managers, any of that. They're just people who had the right connections and are making over $100,000, sometimes well over $100,000, because they know the right politicians. They don't want to solve the problem. That is a huge part of the problem. They are willing to tolerate the collateral damage of some piece of concrete going through maybe your spouse or your child or your parents' car, maybe killing them. But you know, they got a good job. They got a good gig. Sometimes stuff like that happens. And I know it's thankless and it's treacherous. And I'm not claiming that it's easy. But I'm saying that cleaning up our streets is easy. It's just nobody has the will. Nobody, our politicians are so far gone. They're as mentally ill as the people on the streets that they're purporting to help with allowing this. But that's just my thoughts on the matter. Okay, I'm sorry. Every time I hear the news, I go off on some rant. Okay, with that as a mere prelude, let's get to this hour's big lead.
The big lead, top story.
So 12:30 this afternoon, I talked to a citizen, pays a lot of money in property taxes to the schools. He happens to be in the Tahoma School District. And in the Tahoma School District, this guy sent all of this to me. They have a special section on a website that they've sent out to all of their families. They have a special section about equity. And we've talked about this a lot, the difference between equity and equality. Equality is we all have a shot. Now, I, as a poor kid from Ballard without a dad around, I had a shot if I outworked my competition and was willing to sacrifice being social and worked full-time, going through college, all that. I had a shot. I wasn't owed anything. I wasn't given anything. I just had a shot to compete. That's equality. Everybody gets a shot. Equity is very, very different, and this is the Marxist nonsense that the schools are promoting right now. Now, critical race theory. Christopher Rufo is a Seattle journalist, and he's been on our show many times. He's a good man. He's been leading the charge against critical race theory. He's been making it a national issue. Not just our schools, but our government institutions and many corporations now are starting to embrace this Marxist agenda. Christopher Rufo released a new, but it's a really great watch. It's about a 17-minute video that I watched last night about critical race theory. And it covers just how dangerous and how insidious this is. It covers how the difference between equity and equality is it's night and day. But the people behind critical race theory, they know that most people don't discern between equity and equality. Equity is everybody has the same outcome. It is communism. Hardest worker and the laziest person, they both get the same outcome. That's equity. Just divide everything up evenly. Doesn't matter what you put into your life, just get the same outcome. Equality is we all get the same opportunity, but we're going to achieve based on our individual merits. We're going to achieve if we're willing to outwork our competition. It couldn't be more different. But you should take 17 minutes and watch Chris Rufo's new Critical Race Theory post on YouTube. And one of the things that he talked about is the reason CRT is in our schools, in our corporations, in our government, is because they knew that Marxism itself would be a really hard sell these days.
Critical race theorists are masters of language construction and realized that neo-Marxism would be a hard sell to the American public. But equity is soft, persuasive, non-threatening, and easily confused with the American principle of equality. But the distinction between these two words, equality and equity, is vast and crucially important. Equality is the idea that was first proclaimed in the Declaration of Independence, consecrated in blood during the Civil War, and codified into law with the 14th and 15th Amendments and the Civil Rights Act and the Voting Rights Act of the mid-1960s. But the critical race theorists explicitly reject this vision, arguing that equality under the law is camouflage for white supremacy, patriarchy, and naked racial oppression. In their academic work, they've directly attacked the principles of non-discrimination, colorblindness, individual rights, private property, school integration, freedom of speech, and meritocracy.
Yeah, meritocracy. That is the enemy of the radical left. Meritocracy, where you earn your own way and your life is the sum total of the decisions you make. That is, that's evil, evil thoughts. And here Chris Rufo talked about what I was just talking about, the difference between equity and equality.
The critical race theorists would replace the system of equality with a system of equity, which represent diametrically opposed philosophies. Whereas equality seeks to protect individual rights regardless of race, equity seeks to divide the world into competing racial groups and ensure race-based equality of outcomes, endorsing active racial discrimination to get there.
Okay, so the listener who I talked to at 12:30 this afternoon, he brought to my attention the equity lens at the Tahoma School website. And they have a whole page on equity. And it says, "We believe the Tahoma schools must be welcoming, supportive, and safe for every student and adult. We honor diversity and are committed to creating a culture of respect that is inclusive and committed to equitable practices." Now, that's a bunch of load of you know what. They're not about respect and inclusivity. They're the most hateful towards anybody who doesn't think like them. I mean, if you are even slightly right of center or, heaven forbid, conservative, they will say the most hateful things. They're not about inclusivity and a culture of respect. It's about mandating that everybody think the way that they demand. And then they said, and this is critical as well. What is meant by the term equity? Equity is about treating all children as the individuals that they are, not treating all children the same. And that's not what critical race theory does at all. It pits people against each other based on the color of their skin. And so the stuff that they say in writing to try to sell this. And so we tried to get the Tahoma School District Director of Equity on the show today. Her name is Emily Hard. And Chris just asked her to come on. Hi, Chris. I'm not available today, but here is the link to our equity webpages. And then she just sent the link that I'm reading from here. It's really interesting that these people who believe so much in what they are teaching our kids are absolutely across the board, every school district, they are unwilling to talk to anybody who has a different viewpoint from them or somebody who can challenge them. They are so used to being surrounded by a bunch of bobblehead dolls that just nod their head at everything they do and say. And every time they roll the old word dice, the woke word dice, ooh, equity, inclusion, respect. They put out all these words and they don't mean it. But why wouldn't they ever, ever, ever talk to somebody who's a critic of this? Why won't they ever be challenged? Because they know how intellectually vapid and morally wrong this whole curriculum is. To turn our kids into little Marxists is a morally reprehensible thing. And that's what's happening in the schools right now. That's what critical race theory is all about. And that's what we all need to take a stand against. Up next in The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. I sense a Dory rant coming on.
Like I didn't just finish one. Jason Rance has a story up on My Northwest about a racist Seattle Department of Transportation program. They are giving out some free ORCA cards. And it would be wrong. It would be illegal to say we're going to give out free ORCA cards, but only if you're a person of color. But that's what they wanted to do. They wanted to exclude white people from this program. And so the way they tried to come up with this is they said you have to live in one of these neighborhoods to get the free ORCA card. And the neighborhoods are heavily minority-majority neighborhoods. And they selected the neighborhoods based on race. And so they aren't overtly discriminating against white people, but they crafted a way to say, and if you're a poor white person, why wouldn't you be every bit as deserving of a free ORCA card as a poor black or brown person? But that's not what this is all about anymore. And so but here's what's interesting. If you want to get the free ORCA card, you have to show ID to prove you live in one of the neighborhoods that they've selected for the free cards. What? I thought that having to show ID for something like, voting, I thought that was horribly oppressive and racist and just an awful, awful thing to do. But the same people who claim that, who scream that from the mountaintops, they say, you got to show ID so we can give you something for free. You want it for free? Give me some ID. More racism from the inclusive crowd. And that is your Big Lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Told you I had a lot of topics that I love today. Okay, we're going to check the news for you, and then we will continue. We've got a great batch of awesome audio all coming up in the next half hour of the Dory Monson Show. Vocals start on this song?
Yep.
I didn't recognize that.
And this is from the movie, sorry, so there's a little bit of talking.
I just wanted the all you are is another brick in the wall.
Oh, I can get there for
you. Hey, teacher, leave those kids alone.
We're getting there.
Sometimes it's a long, meandering road here on the Dory Monson Show. But we always arrive at some destination, eventually. I should have been more clear. There we go. That's what I recognize. Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook wanted to use the 1979 song, Another Brick in the Wall, for a Instagram ad. And apparently, he offered Pink Floyd a lot of money. Lots and lots of money. But Roger Waters of Pink Floyd, he has slammed Zuckerberg and Facebook. According to Rolling Stone, Waters said the offer was for a huge, huge amount of money. He said the offer arrived this morning with an offer for a huge, huge amount of money. And the answer is, F you, no effing way. So he can't stand Facebook. He said, I only mention that because this is an insidious movement of them to take over absolutely everything. I will not be a party to this bull bleep, Zuckerberg. So I think Facebook, I've got a pretty robust show Facebook page, but I don't personally spend much time on Facebook. I think Twitter's evil. Facebook, at least you are identified, usually. But anyway, I like that Roger Waters stepped up and said no bleeping way to Mark Zuckerberg when there. Oh, and he also called Zuckerberg a little bleep who became one of the most powerful idiots in the world. So I have some new respect for Roger Waters here. I was also listening earlier this afternoon to, well, in the newscast that Aaron just did, he was talking about the vax lottery and how they're still trying to get more and more people vaccinated. I have a feeling if you're not vaccinated now, you're probably against getting vaccinated. And you don't care that much about the state lottery. There's only one thing that I care about in the state lottery, as I've mentioned, and that's topsoil. Jay Inslee told us that some lucky person was going to get some topsoil if you get vaccinated. And if your number comes up, topsoil. So that was very exciting to hear. But I'm guessing people are not going to get vaccinated. I just saw that the Washington Post had a study. Only 50% of NFL players have gotten vaccinated. And the league is trying to leverage against them now. The league said, well, if you don't want to wear masks all the time at practice, all you have to do is get vaccinated. But a lot of these NFL players, if you're among the most supremely physically gifted human beings on the planet, do you really want to inject something experimental into your body? And I don't understand, here in our state, I do not understand why there is such a mania to still get people vaccinated. I'm vaccinated. I don't care if you are or not. You don't affect me now because I got the vaccine. Your choice is your choice. Your body, your choice, right? That's what I always hear from the left. Your body, your choice. I don't care. I was in a bank yesterday. And at the time, I was the only person at the bank. And then a young lady walked in, and she had her shirt pulled up over her nose. And she said, I'm sorry, I forgot to bring a mask. And the people in the bank said, oh, we don't mandate that anymore. And I was thinking, I couldn't care less if her shirt was pulled over her nose or not. I couldn't care less if she was vaccinated or not. But now, here's the latest one that I heard earlier today. The Delta variant is here. You heard about this one, right? It's come to Washington State. And it resembles the India variant. And everybody knows that in India, you know, hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of people have died from COVID. So what could be scarier than telling people here that the Delta variant? And everybody's in on this. Dr. Pavitra Roychowdhury says that the Delta variant is a very concerning strain.
It has been shown to be associated with increased transmissibility. In the UK, it's actually overtaken the Alpha variant, the B117. And so it's something that we're really concerned about and watching those numbers.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. She's with UW Medicine. The Delta variant has overtaken the Alpha variant? I have a feeling that if we just throw out enough words, people will get scared enough to get vaccinated. So that's straight from UW Medicine, that the Delta variant is worse than the Alpha variant now. But there is a way to save yourself from the Delta variant.
What we need to remember is that the most important thing is to reduce the number of cases so that we reduce the probability of being exposed to any variant, not just a specific one.
Okay, and then they told us that vaccine works against the Delta variant. So I don't mean to laugh, but people have made up their mind on the vaccine. I decided it was right for me. And people get furious. The anti-vaxxers get furious every time I say that. They tell me, well, Dory, don't plan on having any more children then. Look. I got the V about 25 years ago. I can handle being infertile. Infertile? What are guys? I don't even know. But somebody actually said that. It's very funny. It was yesterday when I mentioned that I was vaccinated. I got a text. Don't plan on having any more children. And they intended it to be funny. They weren't serious. But what else? What are they going to throw at us next? You know, we had, you know, we know that it was legit that, you know, COVID took a lot of lives, mostly elderly people. If not elderly, then mostly people with comorbidities. If you're young and healthy, it's not a big deal. And a lot of young, healthy people have decided they don't want it. There are people who had COVID and have antibodies. They don't want it. They don't get in the lottery, even though they are not at risk to anybody or themselves. They don't get the lottery. Why not? If they had COVID, that's a steeper price to get immunity than getting a simple shot in the arm. You actually had COVID, but you don't get in the lottery. You don't get a shot at $250,000 or topsoil. But now that they feel that they've maxed out on the whole lottery thing, all of a sudden the Delta variant comes along. And as I did in my special report last Tuesday on the show, I talked about how the pharmaceutical companies, Moderna, Pfizer, Johnson & Johnson, they've had a gigantic spike in revenues. Their stock prices have skyrocketed, and now they've got to keep the revenues up. They've got to keep up earnings. And so they look at markets. And as I played for you last Tuesday, one of the ways that they are hoping to maintain markets is now that it's getting into the southern hemisphere, and India being a prime example, and between India and Africa and lots of places in South America, there's a lot more density of population, a lot of multifamily, and they see that as a rich opportunity. But here in North America or in the United States, they don't see a lot of growth. So they're starting to say, well, we got to get the 16-year-olds. Even though 16-year-olds are almost 100% certainly not going to be harmed by COVID. And that's, we got to get the 12-year-olds. And 12-year-olds are going to be fine too. But 5-year-olds. And then, as I told you yesterday, Children's Hospital is asking parents of infants 6 months old to bring their babies in, and they'll be part of a experiment, a trial of the vaccine on 6-month-old babies. And some will be given a placebo, and some will be given the actual vaccine. What, I mentioned this yesterday. What parent would allow their child to be part of a medical experiment? But that's where the growth is. That's where they got to get the numbers. So, you know, the lottery isn't quite getting as many people pushed through. So now it's the Delta variant. It's all very scary, isn't it? That's the whole point. Okay, quick time out, and then we'll count down our favorite sound bites of the day coming up next. I just learned something. I love learning stuff. And I just learned something. I was talking about how the pharmaceutical companies were looking at the Southern Hemisphere. I played you that audio last Tuesday in our special report, how they were looking at the Southern Hemisphere as the big growth opportunities because of the density of families. And I said, you know, like India and then into Africa and South America. And I got a text from somebody who said, since when is India in the Southern Hemisphere? And I don't ever assume if somebody challenges me that they're wrong and I'm right. So I'm telling you, I'm 59 years old. I would have sworn India was in the Southern Hemisphere. It's entirely in the Northern Hemisphere. Every bit of it. That's absolute news to me. I never, ever knew that before this. So I want to thank the listener because I love getting knowledge at my age. Okay, so if... thank you, Sean. So yes, if the Delta variant hasn't scared you into getting it, maybe the 250,000 isn't sufficient. It's going to be 1 million in a couple of weeks. But I tell you, the genius of this whole lottery...
Topsoil.
Yeah. All right, with that as a mere prelude, let's get to our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's awesome audio clips of the day.
Oh, my gosh. The president of the United States tried to speak at the World Summit, the G7 Summit. And there are still people who are trying to insist that Joe Biden is not severely mentally diminished. And he spoke gibberish for about 27 seconds. And this is hard to hear.
And I've said before, and I apologize to repeat, I'm leaving out a lot of people here. I apologize. I'm going to get in trouble. But anyway, we'll get back to that. But there's a lot that is happening.
No, there's a lot happening. But he got more votes than anybody in history. He got 81 million votes. It's amazing. Charles Barkley, one of my favorite consistent soundbite providers, and he was talking to a couple morning show hosts in Washington, D.C., saying, and this is something I can attest to, he said, I don't know how you can do a daily radio show when everybody's looking to be offended and everybody's looking to cancel you, and anything you say they could try to use against you. And Charles Barkley, as usual, got it absolutely right.
Especially nowadays, because everybody's, the PC people are out overboard right now. No, I'm just saying this for like, I can't imagine you guys doing a show every day, how crazy it is for you. Like, it's gotten so out of hand right now. I couldn't imagine having to watch myself. You can't even have fun nowadays without these jackasses trying to get you canceled and things like that. So, listen, I'm trying to hang on for another couple of years till I'm 60, and then they can kiss my ass because I'm only working to 60.
It's very funny, man. Jon Stewart, man, the left loves Jon Stewart until last night when he went on Colbert's show and said exactly what Donald Trump said last year. He thinks the COVID virus came out of a lab in Wuhan province.
I honestly mean this. I think we owe a great debt of gratitude to science. Science has, in many ways, helped ease the suffering of this pandemic, which was more than likely caused by science. So, and that's kind of.
Hold on one second.
No. Listen.
I wouldn't do that to you.
What do you mean
by that? Do you mean like there's a chance that this was created in a lab? There's an investigation.
A chance?
If there's evidence, I'd love to hear it.
There's a novel respiratory coronavirus overtaking Wuhan, China. What do we do? Oh, you know who we could ask? The Wuhan novel respiratory coronavirus lab. The disease is the same name as the lab. That's just a little too weird, don't you think? And then they ask those scientists, they're like, how did this... So wait a minute, you work at the Wuhan respiratory coronavirus lab. How did this happen? And they're like, a pangolin kissed a turtle. And you're like, no. If you look at the name, let me see your business card. Show me your business card. Oh, I work at the coronavirus lab in Wuhan. Oh, because there's a coronavirus loose in Wuhan. How did that happen? Maybe a bat flew into the cloaca of a turkey and then it sneezed into my chili and now we all have coronavirus. Like, come on.
You know, last year when Donald Trump said the same thing, Colbert's audience, right-wing conspiracy, tinfoil hats. When Jon Stewart says it, it's just wonderfully thoughtful. How vapid must you be, base your opinion, not on what is being said, but on who is saying it? Unless it's me, you should agree with everything I say. Tom and Curly Show's coming up next. God bless you in these crazy times, and I will see you back here tomorrow. Hi, noon.
Very good. That's excellent.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.